Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now though, it is Sunday. It's time for us to talk pop culture. And I am joined now by our very own Connor Behan. Hello, Connor.
Hello, Louise. How are you?
I have DJ Connor Behan in front of me, but it just didn't even feel appropriate to say that because I know your heart is absolutely broken over the lack of gigs.
I know, yeah, it's funny, like I've started even saying my DJing is sort of past tense, and not because I'm not ever going to DJ again, but just because I'd be like, oh, when I DJed, I'm like, whoa, so we'll see,
ouch.
DJ question mark.
No, look, once a DJ, always a DJ, Connor.
Yes,
do you know
like
what I
riding
mean?
A bike, it never leaves you.
It's in you. So we have got so much to talk about, I feel
yes.
like we should get it going. So the inauguration is happening this week, and of course it's going to be a celeb-spangled special.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously, we're coming out of the sort of 4.5 years of sheer hell that was a Donald Trump presidency. And one of the things that sort of always, I guess, stood out about it really was how few big name celebrities really rode in behind President Trump. And when people did, it was often someone like Tim Allen, Kirstie Alley, sort of like names that you would know, but rarely like the A-list contingent. Whereas this Wednesday at the inauguration, we're going to see Lady Gaga, Bruce Springsteen, the Foo Fighters and John Legend amongst the names performing, and even Jennifer Lopez, which I'm hoping for her half of the Super Bowl performance from last year just replayed with a few American flags. I feel like they have the props already. Get a few LED walls in. Why not? Give it a go.
I was just going to say that. The thing about inauguration performances is that there's always like, you know, they're always very meaningful, which like is great. But like, I feel like we need a bit of pizzazz. After the, I mean, seriously, in 2021, after the year we've had, give the people what they want. They want yes. a show.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny. I'm sure, look, as you say, it'll probably be quite dry and cut and dry and serious. It is interesting because Lady Gaga will sing the national anthem and she, of course, was on the campaign trail for Biden Harris. I think around October of last year, she was in Pennsylvania. She kind of went to one of the swing states to help raise awareness and have that conversation and stuff. So it will be interesting. Obviously, there are, I'm sure, security concerns. There won't be an actual big crowd because of the pandemic. And then I'm sure there will be a very intense security presence because of the riots that happened at the Capitol. So it will be interesting to see. I mean, sometimes the celebrity political thing in the US can feel a bit, I think it feels a bit cheesy to us here because they're so much more earnest about it. But given the context of this month, it will be interesting to see what is said, what is done, how much sparkle J-Lo sneaks into her outfit, all the important stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a game-changing inauguration. It's not like, you know, your common yeah. regard inauguration, like, as you said, coming off the back of Donald Trump, it's a big deal and something worth celebrating, I think most people feel. Okay, so let's just get down to it. Armie Hammer, there's a lot going on there.
There is. This is a hard one to talk about in a way because I think if you've seen maybe one or two headlines in passing, you might almost think it's just a funny, random celebrity story. But it's one that once you dig in, it is a bit heavy. And I would say to people listening, like, you know, there's kind of like darker themes to this than you would expect. So just be prepared.
Yeah. And
which
it's
is
also
a weird disclaimer.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And it's also quite complex. But let's,
I mean,
you might as well just actually tell the people what the story is. But again, yeah, this is actually quite adult. So be a bit cautious about that. Go on.
So Armie Hammer, people would know him from movies like Call Me By Your Name. He was in Netflix's adaption of Rebecca, which came out a few months ago and it did quite well. I think that's probably the last thing people would have seen him in that they'd be aware of. So an Instagram account called House of Effie, they started posting. Now, this account is written by someone who's anonymous. We basically know that they're a young woman and the account is now private. So that's basically all we know about this account. She started posting various images on her story that she claimed were DMs from Armie Hammer that at first seemed to describe a kind of master-slave relationship, which is something that people who are into kink might be doing or interested in. But some of the messages had a much more, I suppose, a darker and more violent tone that seemed to go beyond into a mutual kind of kink thing into something a bit scarier. The one that has really caught a lot of attention, has become a big headline, was him saying, "I am 100% a cannibal, I want to eat you." There was other messages House of Effie shared where she was kind of talking about how she was uncomfortable with some of the stuff he was demanding from her in their sexual relationship, and her kind of feeling like, "I feel like you ignore my safe word during certain practices," and she was trying to prove the authenticity of these messages by posting pictures of a hand with a tattoo that seems similar to Armie Hammer's. Now again, we're, you know, this is kind of at the moment in the alleged space, but this is what kind of started all of this off.
Yeah, and the thing to say, I think, is that, you know, people, what people do consensually, sexually, you know, is up to them. Like, yeah. And people get their kicks in lots of different ways. And sometimes, you know, those kind of dark statements or whatever are things that give people, you know, that those kind of thrills. That's, you know, it's not something that I personally am into. But like, you know, I think we have to be very careful about this conversation, because you don't want to go down the line of shaming people, you know, for what they do consensually and respectfully within a relationship. I think the problem comes to what you were saying about, you know, the fact that she was saying that he was ignoring safe words and that he went beyond what she was comfortable with. And that's where this becomes more serious.
For sure. And I think, you know, what's interesting is this House of Effie account started the ball rolling in a way. And then those messages began circulating online, social media, and they created headlines in that sort of weird feedback loop that happens with this kind of stuff. But other people have started coming forward too, and either implying that they haven't had a good experience with Armie Hammer or being more direct about it. There's a writer called Jessica Sinsen Henriquez who was seen photographed with Armie Hammer, I think September of last year. They were seen on some dates and stuff. And she tweeted this week that we should start questioning why we live in a culture willing to give abusers the benefit of the doubt instead of victims. Because there was a point where one fan account seemed to create a fake DM conversation between House of Effie and Hammer that implied that all of this was completely made up. Mm-hmm. I think, as you mentioned, kink and what people are into when it comes to their sexuality is a very broad spectrum. But what seems to be coming through in these messages is how he was constantly pushing the boundaries past the point of comfortability. Because I'd be like you said there, I would know very little about this in my personal life. Just having listened to people talk about this kind of stuff, they'll always say that for us who are maybe not aware of how it all works, we think, oh, it's so crazy, they do this and this and this. But because a lot of kink stuff is based on stuff that would be outside of the quote-unquote norm, there's actually a lot more talk about consent and boundaries and would you be into this? Oh, yeah. Let's try this. And so in a way, Armie Hammer is it's being implied and alleged that he has often pushed back that and saying things to people in messages like he wanted to cut off their toe and keep it in his pocket. Stuff that goes from, I'd like to try this with you and let's try bondage perhaps, to kind of feeling like he is perhaps maybe threatening violence to these people. There's even a voice note circulating that appears to be Armie Hammer where he kind of says that thing of, oh, when you're into stuff, people don't get it. Like he's trying to justify, you know, certain things that he may or may not have done.
And also, I think that, you know, from what I've seen, there's evidence that he was kind of, you know, suggesting that he was having a relationship with one person when in fact he was messaging lots of different women. He was meeting different women in different cities. Like, you know, there was kind of deception and disrespect happening alongside all of this stuff. It's not great. Not great. And it has had consequences for him, hasn't it, already within his career?
It has, because you know, he's meant to be filming a movie called Shotgun Wedding with Jennifer Lopez. He was meant to be flying to the Dominican Republic to apparently start filming that this week, next week. So basically, start working on that now. And you know, right now, films are being made, but budgets and everything are much tighter because of COVID. Like, there's much more planning and processing. Everyone has to quarantine. So I'm sure they could not take any risks of any potential threat to the project. I know he's in is it Death on the Nile, one of those Agatha Christie movies. And there are some rumors about the studios involved with that being a bit antsy now, because that's obviously filmed in the can, but he has been taken off of one upcoming film that would have been, you know, I'm sure had a lot of attention around it. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned there the kind of the infidelity angle or the kind of multiple women thing. I mean, Armie Hammer announced his divorce from Elizabeth Chambers early last year, and it appears that from these messages and what we're hearing from multiple women coming forward with their allegations that he was seeing these women while married. And there have been stories, the Daily Mail have been on this beat a lot this week and have spoken to sources they claim are close to Elizabeth Chambers, who says she is shocked by what's been alleged, but some of the women involved have reached out to her and that she believes him. She was aware of infidelity. She was not aware of this kind of alleged, I guess, aggression or violence that was coming across in some of these messages.
I think this story is going to continue to develop.
Yes.
Now, very quickly, let's talk about an announcement of a new Sally Rooney book, because that is just super news.
I know. And to think it's only her third novel is kind of a scream as well.
It's wild.
So she has us all in a lather. If you've even thought about reading a book in the last few years, you've probably picked up a Sally Rooney book. So Conversations with Friends, Normal People, obviously very successful. Normal People, the TV show, I think took that into another stratosphere. Her third book is called Beautiful World, Where Are You? It's coming out in September. It's about two pals called Alice and Eileen. They're approaching their 30s. They're kind of in different paths in life, and they're exchanging emails about faith, love, art, all these different things in their lives. And they decide to want to see each other and reconnect. And they're kind of curious about where they are in their lives and how different they may be. So on paper, it does sound a little bit like, I guess, the template that Sally Rooney has already crafted the first two books. But I mean, I know there's now, because she's so successful, there's become this backlash. So some people don't like her work. But personally, I have really loved the first two books. It's really a thrill to see this Irish writer pick a very specific kind of Irish experience that we as Irish people relate to, but then seeing that connect worldwide. Like I was in New York last year, kind of September 2009 when Normal People was coming out there, and just seeing that
2019.
book, 2019, sorry,
Yeah.
yes. I know, yeah, what are dates, what are years? And I remember seeing the book in an American bookshop and talking to the lady who worked there and just being like, oh, it's so funny, like what she writes is so accurate about certain parts of Dublin. And the lady in the bookshop, oh, that's so interesting because I wondered. So I am excited to see what she unfurls and how this book will do, because this book is coming out after two huge novels and a big TV series. It's going to create a huge amount of buzz, I think.
I always think as well, like when people give out about, oh, it's, you know, this person has like a template or whatever for the kind of books they write. I'm like, I'm fine with that. I really
Yeah.
liked the other ones. I would happily read another one kind of along
Yeah.
the same lines. That's totally fine with me. I mean, hello, I read 150 Sweet Valley High books. Wasn't a problem then. Do you know what I mean? I, for
It's like
one,
any, yeah. It's
cannot
like
wait for the new Sally Rooney book. And I hope it's set in Trinity College, Dublin.
maybe we'll get Sally Rooney's like dystopian modern day gritty reboot of Sweet Valley
No,
High. You've rebooted enough things. That could be a good twist on the format.
no more dystopia. Okay, coming up next, we have to talk about Pillow Queens on American TV. Lana Del Rey is come into a little bit more trouble, and why sea shanties are now a huge part of our life. Conor Behan, I'll be back with you in just a moment.
Louise McSherry on 2FM.
What a tune, Denise Chyla featuring Jafaris. That is on Shaw on 2FM. Just absolutely love that. Conor Behan is still here. Hello, Conor.
Hello again. Yeah, I was bopping to the in the headphones to that
Oh,
for sure.
it's such a tune. Like, I cannot get
Yeah.
enough of it. Okay, we've got loads to talk about, Connor. Let's first talk about
Yes.
Sex and the City. Whether you
It's
wanted it or not, you're getting more.
this is the thing, isn't it? I feel like we say the last second movie that came out over 10 years ago was bad because it was. We go, oh, maybe it wasn't relevant because the show hasn't always aged that well because it hasn't sometimes. But by the same token, it is one of those TV shows we still talk about all the time. The cast still get asked about a reunion. There's still drama because obviously for this forthcoming limited series return reboot, Kim Cattrall isn't involved and has very publicly distanced herself from the show in the last few years. So it's a big story and it's one that I'm a bit torn about. I mean, like you said there, you know, it's hard to feel about it is a tricky one.
Yeah, like, I mean, look, was I begging for more Sex in the City? No, I think it was great. It had its time. Like, I loved the first movie. The second film was an abomination. Did I watch it more than once? Yes, I did. And will
Yes.
I watch this more than once? Yes, I
Yes.
will.
Same. Same. So it's coming back for a new limited series called And Just Like That. It's going to debut on HBO Max, which is a streaming service set up by US Network HBO. It's owned by Warner. That in itself is interesting because it implies that this HBO Max thing, which has only done okay in the US so far, has a lot of money behind it because you would assume a show like this will go back to the network, not the streaming service. So that in itself seems to imply that a lot of money was on the table to get even three out of the four women back this time.
Well, as SJP says, they're not looking for a fourth character because, of course, New York will play a role. Have a listen to this.
Have you started looking for the fourth girl yet? The casting for the.
It's not quite as black and white as that.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
We're not looking to create a fourth character. We have New York City as a fourth character. There'll be lots of interesting new characters that we're excited about.
They need to stop saying that about New York City being the fourth character. Anyway,
Yeah.
now let's talk about Pillow Queens. Our beloved Pillow Queens, one of my favorite, in fact, probably my favorite Irish band, were on American TV this week.
Yeah, they made their US TV debut on. Now, I should clarify because people will hear Late Late Show and think it's Ryan Tuberty at all. The Late Late Show with James Corden, which is a long-running American talk show, which of course airs on CBS. It was their debut on American TV, which is very exciting. They performed the track Liffey, which of course comes from In Waiting, which is their debut album, which came out last year. Too much acclaim from people like yourself, and of course, their very big fan base here and abroad. So it's just exciting because obviously we know that in the last, say, 10 to 12 months, Irish bands have not been able to perform and make a living from that. And they're still putting out great kind of records and music and still trying to keep it pushing. So to get this little acknowledgement, not little, this big acknowledgement from American television is great. And Sarah Corcoran from the band actually told the Irish Times that before they began recording their piece for the show, James Corden was like, look, Usually the music supervisor picks all the bands, but I insist on getting you guys because I've been a fan of this album for ages. So that's a lovely thing to hear and to get that validation. Who knows where it could lead for them?
Well, also, I think it's worth noting that, like, you know, it's been a long time since women from Ireland have taken their music internationally. You know, women have a harder time getting support in Irish music for whatever reason. And, you know, it is amazing to see a band of queer women, you know, making a name for Ireland on American TV. I, for one, love to see it. Now, let's talk about Lana Del Rey, because she is oft misunderstood and it has happened again.
It has. You know, Lana Del Rey is in a funny position. I think critically and musically, people are still very much here for her. I think in some ways she's very prolific right now. She's been putting out poetry books. She's about to drop another new album after releasing a very well-received one in 2019. Her new album's called Chemtrails Over the Country Club. She debuted the title track, which is a new single, on Animax's BBC Radio 1 show last week. Did an interview to talk about this track. It wasn't long after everything had happened in the US, and they had quite a... I mean, I did my due diligence and listened to all the interview, because Lana Lucia's been like, go listen to the whole interview. I did. they got into the world around us, COVID, the pandemic, etc. They started talking about the riot at the Capitol in the US a couple weeks ago, where Lana eventually took some heat for this. She was trying to say, basically, she didn't think Donald Trump was knowingly inciting a riot with his comments in the lead up to that event, and then his delusions of grandeur. She was trying to say effectively that he's so wrapped up in himself and so kind of broken that his own narcissism just clouds everything he does. She said that Trump was a reflection of our world's greatest problem, which is not climate change, but sociopathy and narcissism. She said, it's going to kill the world. It's not capitalism. It's narcissism. And then that quote started getting taken out of context online, which didn't go down well with Lana, who's fallen afoul of not being able to, express herself in a sort of succinct way and then have that kind of go against her.
She posted, obviously, on social media to explain, so we can have a listen to her explanation here.
So I just want to talk about a couple of things. Some of the articles that are coming out today about me thinking that Trump didn't mean to incite the riots. I was asked directly political questions for over 40 minutes by the BBC Radio 1. And I answered them, you know, and I said, when someone is so deeply deficient in empathy, they may not know that they're the bad guy. That may be a controversial opinion, but don't make the controversy that I don't think that he meant to incite a riot. It's not the point, is what I was saying.
It's kind of a legit point that she's making, and deeply deficient in empathy, I think, is a very good way of describing Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Because it's one of those things where I don't think she's wrong per se. But she's doing, I think it's two things. One, it got taken out of context in certain places, and so people got their backs up. And I think because sadly Lana hasn't had great form in the last year. Even just when the single cover for this track came out, you know, it was a mix of women who are friends on the cover, and she jumped up to be like, just so you know, there are women of color in this image, and I'm not racist, and I've dated rappers in the past. And there was that incident last year where she talked about how now that all these women are doing sexy songs, and most of the women she mentioned were black women, can I go back to singing this and this and not be accused of glamorizing abuse? And started this weird conversation where she seemed to be kind of pointing the finger at black women in music, and then not even just seeing the optics of it. And I just think what it is she's got her point of view, which she's more than entitled to. And I don't think she's this crazy Trump supporter by any means, but I think she's put her foot in it a few times and has got her back up and been defensive in a way that I think kind of doesn't do her justice, because musically she's killing it. And also she does have a point in a way. It's just, okay, your point actually could sit alongside this other point, but you are just being very defensive now.
Yeah, she's not great at articulating it, I think. Now, before I let you go, of course, we have to talk about sea shanties.
As you do. Listen, TikTok has brought a lot of things into our lives, mainly dance crazes, songs to the top of the charts, maybe cooking hacks, whatever you're into. Something that has occurred in the last few months and has really popped off in recent weeks is sea shanties, which of course are songs that sailors used to sing on boats hundreds of years ago. They were used to help them work together in time. So they're quite easy songs to sing along to. I think one of the ones that most people know is The Drunken Sailor. They're songs you can chant along to.
I have one here, Connor, which we can listen to in the background. This is, of course, several people coming together on TikTok to sing this song.
Ship that put to sea, the name of the ship was a belly of tea. The winds blew up her bowed up down or below, my belly boys blow.
So that's what they sound like, and they are all over TikTok, and now they have even gone beyond TikTok and are on other forms of social media and the like as well.
Yeah, so a guy called Nathan Evans, who's a postman from Scotland, he has been posting these videos on TikTok, and he kind of started the craze in that space. He's in his early 20s, and he basically puts these videos up, and then people who don't use TikTok may not know this, you can duet with other users, which is how these kind of videos tend to spiral along, and the one you're playing there is multiple people all at once. So it's just, they're easy to sing, they're kind of feel-good songs in a way, because they're about harmonizing, and they're simple, and everyone can kind of understand them, so... I think they're kind of comforting, and also there is, as you say, the WTF vibe of, oh my God, I'm listening to a sea shanty on an app in 2021. It's layers.
I, for one, welcome our new sea shanty overlords. Connor Bean,
same.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking pop culture with me. I hope you have a really great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. Thanks so much. Louise McSherry on 2FM.